columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Happy Friday to you. You made it. I knew you could. This is a hard-working week for you, Brandon.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. I put in some hours this week.
That's right. Monday off. Wednesday, Thursday at Augusta, and you come back up like the doctor when the nurse does all the work and take the credit.
Just said everything went great. Okay, we're out.
Okay. I was amazed, like during like my wife giving a birth to our son, I was amazed how little the doctors do. They just show up at the end, just like run through the finish line.
Yeah.
Like pat you on the head on the way out.
Great job. And then they're off to do another one.
Crazy. All right. One of the biggest sports stories in many, many years, and really one of the great controversies in professional sports history. That is where we are at with this Houston Astros team. The Astros name being banned like all over the country with Little Leagues.
Yeah, I saw that.
David Ortiz spoke to the media yesterday, and he said he's mad at Mike Fears and used a hot button word of snitching. Listen to this piece of audio.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decided to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? That's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? People is not stupid. You know? Like, if I'm a fan that come to that stadium every home game like we have, at some point, I'm going to hear that banging. And I'm talking about as a fan, okay? And they're going to come out, how come there's this banging going on every time we are hitting? You know, like, it was something that it was, from what I have seen, seemed like it was something that it came to the point that it was obvious, too obvious. You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot there from David Ortiz. Before I give thoughts on it, and I do have some, I'm curious to hear what thought of David Ortiz.
Yeah, I mean, he makes some good points. I think when you look at it, why didn't this guy say something when it was going on? Certainly when you have some of your best players doing it, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's one of those things where I think when you're in the moment, you're probably like, yeah, you know what? They're doing their thing. Whatever. I'm staying out of the way. I don't know how long he had been there for during this time. You have to look at that also. I know where David Ortiz is coming from, but at the same time, I think when you're in the situation, it's probably one of those things where you just kind of is out of sight, out of mind. I'm not doing it. I'm a pitcher. Those guys are going to do their own thing. And then after the fact, he probably looked back on it, and I don't know, and just said, you know what? That was wrong. It shouldn't happen anymore. And I don't think he probably thought it would get to this level.
I don't think so either.
That was a thing. When he came out and said it, you know, be one of those things where maybe you got a fine or something happened. I don't think he would ever thought it would get to this level. I bet if he knew it got to this level, he probably wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you just said. I don't fault Mike Fears for not stepping up in the moment. To do that, think about, I mean, the peer pressure of the situation. The equity that the players who were doing it were the faces of the team.
Right.
Like you put yourself in this situation. If you're like on a team and one of your teammates was doing steroids, do you tell on the guy during the season, your own teammate? That's a lot to ask. And I think Mike Fears blowing the whistle on this after the fact. Had he not done this, the Astros would probably still be doing it.
Probably so.
You know, as others have pointed out, it wasn't just isolated to 2017. Like, it was going on after the fact, maybe before the fact. You saw yesterday's story came out. Jonathan Lucroy said, yeah, well, we knew. These guys were doing it. Our whole division knew it. Now, I don't think they knew the extent of, like, any buzzer or anything like that, but they knew there was a full-blown effort, you know, with the algorithm and the
– all you got to do is change it up a few times. you know, get in the dugout, go into the next inning. You know, when we get a guy on second, this is what we're going to be doing. This is how we're going to call it. So, I mean, that's really all you have to do is change it up a few times, and all of a sudden they swing and miss. They think the fastball's coming and the slider's coming, or the slider, and you throw a fastball up around their chin because they're diving into it.
Sure.
That's all it takes. Well, now all of a sudden those guys are going to be like, ah, we're not quite on it.
Well,
so if you know they're doing it, just change it up.
So what they did is you read the Jonathan Lucroy quotes, and if you're not a big baseball fan, he's a catcher, and he said,
you know where he's from.
He said, he's from the Bayou?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Cajun.
He says, it's kind of hard when you have a computer program that breaks your signs. We actively change signs. Every single pitch, we were changing signs. You had to, because they would relay them to second, stealing them from first, too, from between your legs. They had a very intricate system going on. We were well aware of it, and it was a challenge. It was a mental challenge to really overcome that. It's easier said than done, but it's a shame, and I'm glad it came to light.
Cool. I mean, so if you're changing them up, I mean, obviously you don't want to have to change your signals all the time.
Of course.
Throughout the course of a game.
Of course.
It becomes like, okay, well, you put down this. What inning is this again? What are we doing again? That last time this was this, and now it's this. That's not what you want to be doing throughout the course of a game.
More thinking you're doing, the less reacting you're doing.
Exactly. But at the same time, if you're doing enough, it's going to be hard for them to keep up with it. And sooner or later, they're not going to be able to relay that information to the batter because they haven't figured it out. And by the time they figure it out, you're off to the next inning. You would think. But it's something that, you know, you look at this guy and what he started. What's his name? Mike?
Fears.
And, you know, David Ortiz, you can call him a snitch. I think what he did was probably in the best interest of the game. I think he took a step back and realized how bad it was. And it's a good thing that it came to light and it's over with now. And you know now that this stuff won't ever happen again. Nothing like this will ever happen again. Much or too high.
Agreed.
Too much is at stake.
Agreed.
You see them, you're seeing all these Astros players being dragged through the mud. Their reputation from now on is destroyed.
Destroyed.
Yep.
The Houston asterisk. And let me just add one more personal layer to it. I don't like the fact that David Ortiz used the word snitch, because for me, snitch has, it's a relative of a violent term. What do we say? Snitches get stitches.
Right.
And by putting him out there like that, I think it's totally unfair. And by the way, what was the last major scandal that hit professional baseball, Stope?
I don't know.
Steroids.
Yeah, steroids.
David Ortiz cheated. And he's likable, and he's big poppy, but you cheated. So you're
not. Whoa, what?
Yes, he did.
You better go check the facts. You better get off of David Ortiz.
Watch yourself. I'm telling you.
You're making this stuff up.
I am not making it up.
Big Poppy never took steroids, bro. Come on.
you unapologetic Red Sox fan. All right. Speaking of baseball, talk about a big-time name being directly associated with the Colorado Rockies. Oh, boy. Details next. There's a big-time name being associated with the Colorado Rockies. Not sure if you saw this. It was taking place right as we were coming into the studio here, maybe an hour or two before. But it is being reported that the Rockies are among the front runners to sign Yasiel Puig. The Rockies and the White Sox are the two teams remaining in the Yasiel sweep. I don't know if you call them a sweepstakes, but what do you make of it?
Yeah, I don't think that's a sweepstakes.
Not a sweepstakes.
It's the bargain bin area. Discounted.
Very.
I look at our outfielders and I say, I think we got a pretty good group over there with pretty good depth. When you look at Dahl, Blackmon, Tapia, Desmond, who else do we have back there?
Hampson could be out there.
Yeah.
But you're right. You go from right to left. You got Charlie there. You got David Dahl in center. You got Ian Desmond slash, you know, Ramel Tapia, maybe Hampson, you know, whatever.
Right.
The outfield is maybe like the last need of the baseball team.
Yeah. So that's, if anything, I would, hey, let's get some pitching. Let's get some bullpen help here. But obviously that's not in the works. So look, add another bat, add another good baseball player. Okay. That's fine. I just think there's a lot more greater needs here than an outfielder.
Agreed. And here's the thing. I really wanted to like Yasiel Puig. I really did. You know, years and years ago when he came in the league in like 2013, I think it was. I remember, I told you this off the air, Colin Cowherd years ago, this is like 2012, saying, I'm hearing that there is a five-star blue chip, can't miss, five-tool, body like Bo Jackson prospect that is coming in to the major leagues in a year or two, and he's going to be a bona fide Hall of Famer. So I was, my antennas were up. I was put on notice. And then he showed up. If you remember, like when he showed up as a rookie, he was like the NL player of the month. That's how he started his career.
I mean, he had the world on notice. The country was on, like, even if you didn't like baseball, you were following Yasiel Puig. I mean, that's what he did when he came on the scene. It was unbelievable. It was Puig mania.
It was Puig mania.
It really was.
Yeah. And then he started to kind of reveal himself to who he is.
Yes. Showing up late, not doing the things he should have been doing.
Showed up late, arrested twice, flipped off fans. He got in a brawl with the Rockies. And it was Nick Hundley at the time in 2018 that cleared the benches, if you remember. So he's actually fought the Rockies along with other teams as well. He was just involved in two bench clearing brawls last season against the Pittsburgh Pirates. He also just is kind of, he was called out by Dave Roberts for having a bad work ethic, taking plays off. A couple of his really bad moments were really bad.
Yeah.
Justin Turner, I remember, sounded off saying how bad of a teammate he was. And there's just a lot there. I remember there's an incident at a nightclub. He hit his sister or something like that. There's just a lot with Puig. And a little bit too much for my blood, to be honest with you. And there's a reason, by the way, just to add this, there's a reason he's 29 years old in the prime of his career and is about to go on his fourth team in 3 years. And word is he's signing a one-year contract for in the range of $8 million. You're talking about red flags.
Yeah. Yeah. No thank you here. He can provide some depth there, obviously. I mean, you look at Dahl's injury history. Charlie Blackman didn't get any younger. Ian Desmond, we know what his bat's been the last couple of years early in the season. So do you want to add another piece there? You're probably looking at it like, yeah, it wouldn't be the worst thing to add another piece there with some depth. But what kind of guy is he going to be in the locker room? This team's got enough distractions.
Right.
I mean, maybe take some of that away from Nolan and his situation. I don't know the thought process here. The guy's got power. He's got speed. He's got an arm. Talk about an arm.
Oh my gosh.
I tell you this though. I would love to see him play here just to see some of the balls he hits and some of the plays he makes. But it's almost one of those must see TVs. You know, he's going to bring some negative attention. He's going to do some things that make you pull your hair out. But at the same time, you're not going to be able to take your eyes off of him when he's on the field. He's going to do some special things.
That's true. That's true.
But I don't know if it's a right fit or not. I'm kind of going back and forth here.
If he came here, I'd be hoping for the best and pulling for him. I'm pulling him for him as a pro to kind of straighten himself out.
Absolutely.
His trajectory has been seriously stunted. He has underachieved majorly. He really has, from the trajectory that he was on to where he's at now.
What do you think? You want to sign him or not?
No, I don't.
I do. Just because of just what I just said no, and now I'm going back to saying yes.
You want to see him licking his bat down there?
Yes. I want to see him doing those things. I want to see him hit some balls.
He licks his bat.
destroyed. Zach, you lick your Sharpie after twirling it around in your tea, and then your Sharpie comes out and you lick that. And you're calling out a guy for licking his bat. I mean, come on, dude. You got a pen. That pen has been all over the studio. You'll find it on the ground. You pick it up. You stir your emergency, and then you lick it off of the pen. It's like, bro. And then you're calling out Puig for licking his bat.
No, I just never seen a man lick his own bat.
Well, I mean, hey.
I just never seen that.
Nothing wrong with licking your own bat.
I never seen that.
I mean, look, he is fun to watch. He's fun to watch.
He is. He's polarizing.
He's got an arm, and I don't know. I don't know what kind of distraction or not distraction he would be here. So
doesn't Tapia sniff the bat after a foul ball?
Yeah, he does something like that. Yeah,
we got a sniffer and a licker. It's like.
Where are we going? What is this? What's happening today?
All right.
What are we doing?
It's Friday.
Ooh.
What are we doing? But he would be entertaining. Like when you're talking about like paying for a ticket and going to the ballpark.
Oh, Puig's in the lineup? Oh, he's mesmerizing.
You want to see Yasiel Puig? You want to see Garrett Hampson?
Exactly.
You know, so I get what you say about that, but it would feel like maybe potentially a drop of ink in a clear cup of water. But that being said, and I had a follower on Twitter, Zach, reach out, Z-A-K, the way that you spell my name, despite being on the show next to your name.
That's how everybody that is born Zach should spell it.
No. So he was saying, hey, you know, he needs to figure this out now because his professional life is really in jeopardy, fourth team in 3 years. And it got me thinking, like, maybe a one-year deal where you have to do all the right things, work ethic, don't be a jerk, keep your tongue in your mouth. Maybe, I don't know. maybe it's actually a good scenario where he really has to walk the straight and narrow.
Could be a good situation. I mean, you're not committing to him for 3-4 years. If it's a one-year deal, $8 million, okay. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see another bullpen arm down there, but there's probably not any of those guys lying around right now for 1 year at $8 million.
This is going to be a great sports weekend, Stoke.
What do you think Nolan's going to say on that deal, though? Is he going to be like, seriously?
This is the move?
This is not what we talked about.
Right. This is not
what we discussed here.
This is going to be a great sports weekend, and it has a local twist, and it starts tonight. Details next. So on the surface, the weekend of February 22nd and 23rd, and you can include tonight, Friday the 21st, why would it have real sizzle to it?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL season's over. Basketball's just kind of getting back going again after the All-Star break.
Baseball hasn't started.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on?
First of all, tonight.
Tonight.
Denver Nuggets basketball back.
Okay.
At Oklahoma City. We are down the backstretch. You realize there's only 27 games left?
I do.
That's it. That's it. Okay, I got you now.
Actually, I do. I know exactly how many games are left.
You're doing math?
No more. No more.
Oh, you put the calculator away?
Yeah.
Just chalked it up?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. But realize that All-Star break is not halfway through the season.
No.
It's a lot more than halfway through the season.
I want to say it's the furthest back of any sport to when they had their All-Star outside of the Pro Bowl.
Sure.
It's at the conclusion.
But it's a home stretch here, really.
It's a sprint now.
How many games are left, you say? 20?
I believe it's 27 games.
Not many at all.
No.
Which is exciting. Like, okay, the All-Star break's here. We're not halfway through. We're almost done with this thing. And the playoffs are right around the corner. We got a great squad. So for me, it's exciting to know that playoffs are going to be here pretty soon. And we're fighting for a lot right now.
Fighting for a lot. The Denver Nuggets are just 4 games back from the Lakers with, you know, a handful of games. There's opportunity for wiggle room.
Sure.
If the Lakers have a bad week, you're right there flirting with being the number one seed in the Western Conference. Right now, I got to be honest with you. Right now, if the playoffs started today, and James and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, you'd be matching up with Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, a championship coach, and the Dallas Mavericks. That may be a 6-7 game series in itself. There is no birthright rite of passage just because you're the 2 seed.
No.
It's going to be tough sledding. But The Nuggets right now perched in the two seed where they've been most of the NBA season.
Well, I mean, you're fighting for that two seed. You don't want to drop to the three seed.
Mm-mm.
You want to stay at number two, or if not number one. But that's a big drop now if you go to three. It's a big, big change because of the team that you'll see before you get to the Western Conference Final.
That's right.
That's where it boils down to.
That's right.
So then you'd have to play the Lakers. Right, instead of having that two seed and being able to see them in the Western Conference Finals.
And
possibly.
In the first round, if you were the three seed, the way it's matched up right now, you'd be playing the team that you're playing tonight.
Okay.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are one of the best stories in the league. Chris Paul is just...
Yes, they are. Sorry to cut you off.
No, I was just saying, I'm so impressed. This team was left for dead. They were talking about blowing up the team.
And that's what they did.
Well, kind of, right?
I mean, that's what they did, and they're still winning.
But, like, the Steven Adams, Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, Danilo Gallinari, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander somehow are in this sixth seed in the Western Conference. It's crazy. So tonight's going to be an interesting game.
But it's all right there. So fluid. Five, six, seven, really, are so fluid. And eight is a little bit out of the mix right now. But you could see Portland and Memphis vying for that eight seed there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So... a lot of jockeying still to go down the stretch here of the NBA season, which is awesome.
It is awesome. So tonight you got the Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
National TV, by the way. ESPN game.
Love it.
6 o'clock against Oklahoma City on the road. So there's my
supposedly,
first.
Supposedly, and real quick, just healthy. I think they're back healthy. Michael Porter Jr. is supposed to be back.
Yep. Paul Millsap returned before the break.
So I don't know what Plum Dog.
Yeah, Plumlee's playing. Will Barton is not playing.
Got our guy back. Plum Dog back, baby.
Plum Dog millionaire, baby.
Yeah. Michael Porter Jr.
Yep.
back. Ankle.
Huge.
Yeah. Continue to build off what he was starting to do there. And like that's the difference maker right there. So.
And then.
All right. What else we got?
And then tomorrow.
Yeah.
10 o'clock in the morning here.
Right. Uh huh.
Baylor, Kansas. Yeah. Number one versus number three. As a high of a ranking matchup that you're going to find in the regular season. So that is a huge we're starting to turn our focus a little bit to college hoops.
Right. You
know, keeping an eye on it. March is just a couple days away.
That's right.
You know everything
March
that comes
Madness,
with that.
Baby.
Can't wait.
So you know my son is the biggest Kansas fan. He's
I do.
A Kansas freak.
I do.
And so when Kansas loses, he's just miserable to be around. He's just miserable.
Takes it that serious.
Yes, he's miserable to be. So when they lose tomorrow, the whole Saturday, he's going to be a turd. The whole day. That's what he's going to be. The whole day. And
Baylor won in Kansas the first time around.
Oh, I know. But I will be talking smack to him the whole day. I can't wait for Baylor to beat Kansas.
Okay.
Baylor beat them last time in Kansas.
First time
they had ever done that,
I believe,
ever.
At the Fog.
And now they got them in Baylor, in Waco.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. Let's go Baylor.
Sick 'em.
So I can talk smack.
I love it. So that's the way the day starts tomorrow.
Right.
And you talk about a bookend. Tomorrow night is the biggest heavyweight boxing fight in many years. Many. If you want to say Tyson Fury, Vladimir Klitschko a handful of years ago rivals us, okay, I can't go there.
Not for us here.
This might be years and years and years back where Tyson Fury's never lost. Dante Wilder has never lost. Dante Wilder is...
And this is part two.
This is part two. The first time around was a draw, controversially. There are many that say when a boxer gets knocked down the way that Tyson Fury did in the 12th round and his shoulders lie flat with no movement, he was just flat, the official will end it at that point. The official did not. Tyson Fury, much like The Undertaker against Mankind, buried alive, 1996, he just popped right up.
But you still had people thinking Fury won, even after getting knocked down twice.
Thinking Fury won the round. Yes, it's unbelievable. There are people in boxing circles, not just one, I'm talking about many, many, many people in boxing circles that believe Dante Wilder is the greatest puncher of all time. Not Mike Tyson, seriously. He's fought 42 times, and he has knocked out 41 contestants. The only time he didn't, it's Tyson Fury, and it's going down tomorrow night. The Bronze Bomber, orthodox boxer. He knocked him down in the 9th. He knocked him down in the 12th. It came out to be a draw. Tyson Fury, though, I think has a little bit of mind control over Dante Wilder. Because when Dante Wilder hits you like he hit Tyson Fury, you stay down. And that man got up and had his tongue out of his mouth like Shakira. So...
not quite like Shakira, but, you know. Who you got?
I got Wilder.
I got Wilder also. How long? Is Fury getting knocked down?
I think he gets knocked out. When? I think he gets knocked out. I'll say the 10th round.
I'm not. I think it's quicker than that.
You think so?
I think he catches him one quicker than that, and he's not getting up this time.
I can't wait. It's two. I mean, these guys are huge. This is the heavyweight division. You know, for years it was awesome. You know, the whether you're talking about, you know, back in the day with, you know, the heavy hitters and Joe Louis and George Foreman and the guys like that. Joe Frazier, of course, Muhammad Ali. Then you get into the Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, Rahman. I mean, it was awesome there for a bit. And then since then, it's like
nothing.
Vladimir Klitschko ran things for years, and
the Klitschko's brothers.
Yes, correct.
Both of them.
Correct.
Vladimir and the other Klitschko.
The other one. But
that's another Russian name. Sergio. How about that?
There you go.
There we go.
There you go. I just can't wait.
It's going to be fun.
We've been waiting for years for a heavyweight fight like this.
And the fact that they did it once, and it was an epic fight that ended in a draw, and now you got part two, I mean.
The greatest advertisement that ESPN did for this fight was just show the first one.
Yep.
Because it sells itself. These guys throwing atomic bombs at each other. All right. If the playoffs started tomorrow, we mentioned the Nuggets here in passing. If the playoffs started tomorrow, would Michael Porter Jr. be in the rotation? Michael Malone was asked that question, and we'll play his response for you next. If the playoffs started tomorrow, for the Denver Nuggets, would Michael Porter Jr. be in the rotation? Now, you know how Mike Malone has handled Michael Porter Jr. at stretches during this season, sort of like, hey, you better show me you can crawl before I trust you to walk type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit too much for me.
In the last month or so leading up to the All-Star game, he had a little bit more of a license and liberty to be out on the floor for more than, you know, 4 minutes before he misses a defensive assignment and gets yanked the way he did the month previous. Michael Malone was asked by our guy, Matt Moore, who joins us here every so often. He was with Mike Malone yesterday and asked the question, if the playoffs started tomorrow, would MPJ be in the rotation?
Without getting ahead of ourselves, to your point, we've got to see, you know, where he's at from a health standpoint. You know, but the bottom line is, the last month before he got hurt, he was playing at a very high level. So Michael Porter is going to get a chance to play in the playoffs for us. I think that experience, like it was for Jamal and Nikola and all of our first-time players last year, was invaluable. So if Michael can come back and be healthy, he is a guy off the bench that provides his scoring punch, and his rebounding, his size, and his length are things that you just can't replicate. So I'm looking forward to getting him back out there and letting him continue to grow and develop and hopefully go into the playoffs feeling really good about themselves.
What'd you make of that response?
I love it. Thank you. Yes, play him. He's a difference maker. He's that type of talent, and obviously the more experience you get on, the better off he'll be. Just get him healthy.
Yeah.
Let's get him healthy. Hopefully he's good to go, and they're being ultra conservative with the ankle, and now he'll be ready to go. Got 27 games left to go.
Yep.
Hopefully he can stay healthy, get those 27 games in, and then go into the playoffs and be that factor that we're all hoping he can be.
And I think by that time, if he's healthy, and you just referenced it, he's got to stay healthy, and he's the stretch of time that he was playing before getting banged up here was pretty good stretch of good health. I mean, we had so many huge questions, and I think that if we said if this season was going to go like this and this exact way, I think we would have taken it in a second, even despite being banged up. Hopefully by that time he's – the playoffs are a different beast, though. I got to say
– they are, but I want to just touch on that real quick. He carried the team in a few of those games.
He did.
When all those injuries were happening, he carried the team. If it wasn't for him, they got three or four more losses on their record. So he didn't. He wasn't just there. I mean, he showed up big.
It's a good point. It's true. And that's the difference between winning 56 games and 53.
Yeah. That's that type of difference.
And if you didn't know, the Nuggets over-under win total was 53.5. Right now, they're on pace for like 55, 56. The new projected win totals just came out this past week. I was looking at them. It's like 55 and a hook, something like that. But yeah, you think back to the, you know, the, a 7-point win on the road in Minnesota where he goes for 20 and 14. Probably don't win that game without that type of performance.
Nope.
So, no, it's a good point. But I want to say the playoffs are such a different animal. They are grinded out, grueling matchups, both physically and mentally, an incredible emphasis on, not like perfection, but, I'm interested to see when the games matter the most if Mike Malone can stomach something going wrong on Michael Porter Jr.'s behalf. Because
right.
You just seen that quick trigger in the past.
And that's a great
with
point.
A regular season
right.
game.
That's a great point.
You're in the first round and it's game five and the series is tied 2-2 with the Dallas Mavericks and he misses a switch and KP goes in for a dunk. Is he getting yanked?
Yeah.
We're going to see.
Right.
We're going to see. Because although he sounded confident that he would, he made no promises.
Of course. That's going to be interesting to see what that leash looks like for him when the games matter as much as they do in the playoffs. So I think you look at him down the stretch here. He's got to get back healthy. And then he's got to continue to improve and continue to gain the trust of the coaches.
Sure. Sure.
If he starts taking a step back here after the All-Star break, and after the ankle injury, then I think you'll see less and less of him in the playoffs. I mean, that's that type of year. I mean, you're not going to just say, okay, well, we like your potential. Now we're going to throw you out there when you're not performing. We're going to let you learn on the fly here. No, you really can't do that because you got a good basketball team regardless. And you can't take a loss because you're trying to get Michael Porter Jr. experience.
Right.
And that's not going to happen under Mike Malone. I mean, he has shown that.
Yep.
So, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, you're going to have a few issues here and there. Yeah, sure. You'll have a few issues, but the upside for him is so great. I don't think that's going to be an issue in the playoffs.
I was listening to, the Low Post podcast. Zach Lowe has kind of turned into one of ESPN's front and center NBA guys. And, he gave his five most interesting storylines or players to watch in the last quarter of the season here, and Michael Porter Jr. was number one on his list.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the type of equity the Nuggets as a team have built up and how far away or how far Michael Porter Jr. could take this team if he continues to ascend.
Yeah, absolutely, and what he's shown so far.
Heck yeah.
What he has been able to do so far in his limited playing time and how he's looked, that's why here on out, hey, let's see what happens here. Does he continue to progress? And then all of a sudden, your thoughts on the Nuggets and their potential increases.
Sure.
And what they might be able to do. But he's that one outlier type of player that you're looking at right now. What are the Nuggets going to get from him down the stretch? What are the Nuggets going to get from him in the playoffs? It's hard to predict. He's shown flashes of really good. When he started off and Malone seemed like he was pulling him every 4 minutes after three or four minutes because he was making a mistake early in the season to where now he didn't have many choices and he was playing him and he was playing great. But what does it look like moving forward with everybody being healthy again? You're coming off extended rest. He had the ankle injury. What will it look like down the stretch? Can he regain that form that he was having there towards the end before he got that ankle injury?
It's a big question. Big question. Another sneak peek at it tonight. ESPN, 6 o'clock.
On the road?
On the road against the current sixth seed, the Oklahoma City Thunder. That is just an incredible NBA story this year. Maybe a preview of things to come. If the Clippers pass the Nuggets in the standings, they're just a game up on them right now.
Right.
That's who they'd be matching up with if it turns out to be the 3-6 matchup. It's going to be great. I mean, how about this? The Western Conference is stacked, right? We all agree that the West, from a depth standpoint, is infinitely better than the East. The Denver Nuggets against Western Conference opponents are 25-9. 25-9 against the West. It's really something. And they are a fascinating story. Can't wait to watch.
What do you think about tonight? The game tonight? What do you got? I mean, obviously, we talked about it before the All-Star break. You wanted to head into the break on a high note. They battled the Lakers, went toe-to-toe with those guys. Lakers made a few plays down the stretch, lost that one. You want to come out of the break and set the tone and the tempo. You're going on the road. You know that's the message from Mike Malone.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get this thing cranked back up. We only got 27 left before the real season starts and the playoffs start. Let's start on a high note here. Let's get going. I know we're on the road, but and he's done a great job of that all year, getting these guys ready to go.
No, for sure.
What do you think?
I think they win tonight. I think I saw some of the quotes yesterday coming out of Pepsi Center saying, we are not satisfied with being the two seed. There's that Mike Malone tone that you just sort of referenced, which is he's just a perfect coach for this team, I believe. So I think they win. The experts in the desert has it as a coin flip. In fact, they have the Oklahoma City Thunder as a 1-point favorite.
Really?
Yeah, which is really interesting. Really interesting. So
I like the Nuggets too.
Okay.
Nuggets by 7.
Okay, I like it. I like it. I had the such distinct pleasure of just making my day. I grew up a rabid wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And Jim Ross, you know, he's the announcer for years.
Yeah.
By God, that's Austin's music. That's Austin. You know, he's that guy. And the company he works for, All Elite Wrestling, is coming to Denver in the beginning of March.
Okay.
So I had an opportunity to talk to him. I got to play this clip for you.
Love it.
The interview will be up online. Is it up online right now? Okay, it will be shortly. But I asked him, he signed The Rock to his first ever wrestling contract.
Okay.
When The Rock had $7 to his name.
Right.
He was living in a car. And I said, what was the point where you look back and said, I knew he was going to be a star? Right now, he's the biggest movie star in the world from a financial standpoint. So what was the moment that you knew The Rock was going to be a superstar? And this is what Jim Ross said.
I'd be remiss if I let this conversation pass without asking you about the biggest movie star in the world right now. And a guy that if you're just a peripheral average wrestling fan that kind of comes and goes, you don't know that once upon a time, Rock had a couple bucks to his name. And it was you, Jim Ross, who signed The Rock. And my question is, and I'm sure you've got this in the past, but again, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask it. After you sign him and you bring him in, was there a specific juncture in time where a light bulb went off in your head? Obviously, you thought Rock was going to be promising or you wouldn't sign him to that, you know, initial deal. But was there a point in time that you reflect at where, whether it was an interview, a moment in a match, a crowd pop, where you said, man, this guy is going to be one of the all-time stars?
Well, the first time I took him to lunch in Davie, Florida, I was recruiting him, and I was hoping to leave with a signature. He took me to lunch at a little Cuban place, and I remember exactly what we had. We had grilled chicken, black beans, and yellow rice. And so, like that scene in when Harry Met Sally, the lady says to me after Rock ordered, he's sitting there wearing a tank top. Thank God I wasn't. And he says... she says, well, what do you have? So I said to the lady, the waitress, I'll have what he's having. Because I just thought that Harry Met Sally thing, it sounded funny one time. In any event, through the course of our little meal, in a little small restaurant, maybe it may have had 100 people in it, maybe, we got offered, seemingly every woman in the building came by our table to see if we wanted something else to drink or more to drink. And a lot of those women didn't even work there. They were guests. And I attribute that to Rock's looks and his tank top. But then, here's what put the cherry on the sundae. A bunch of guys would come by. They recognized me from television all those years. And so they stopped by to say hello or take a selfie or sign something, whatever. But they were talking to me and looking at Rock. So they knew what I did for a living, and they knew what part of my job was, is scouting and recruiting talent. So I knew I had great market research from average, everyday working men and women on that day. It's also that day that he said, I'd love to buy you lunch, but I've only got $7 to my name. And I thought this the other day when I was watching Ballers, one of the shows he owns and produces, created.
Sure.
It's produced by his production company, which ironically is named $7 Entertainment.
Isn't that something?
So it wasn't hard to figure out a guy that's 6'5", looked like Dwayne, and is a multiple ethnicity look and his heritage. you know, his grandpa was a star, his dad was a star. He became, you know, massive star. Now, WWE signed The Rock's daughter, and who knows? She has a chance to be a fourth generation star in the wrestling business, and I hope that she makes it because she's just a darling young woman and big and athletic too. So we'll see. But it's an interesting story. I still think of Rock almost every day for something. He's in the news every day, and I just feel that happy that I was a small part of getting his first jersey and letting him play.
The very first, that was so cool to tell that
story.
That's
a great story.
And this was when Rock was like 22 years old. Now he makes about $30 million a picture and has 172 million Instagram followers.
Wow.
He could run for president. He'd probably win.
Probably so.
Crazy. You'll find that conversation with Jim Ross later on 1043thefan.com later this afternoon. It'll be posted there for your
cool
pleasure.
Cool story.
Hey, Chris Harris might be walking out that door.
Yeah.
There could be someone else.
You got someone?
Just became available.
Oh.
That could be walking back in, and he's got Denver ties.
Oh.
I'll tell you who it is. But first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.